if it's not you, God is going to find somebody else to fulfill his will. So you have the opportunity to walk in what I've created you for, or you have the ability to let that opportunity pass you by and I'll find somebody else doing it. You'll watch from the sideline, watch them do what I created you to do. If I don't do it, God is going to choose somebody else. And I will be super mad if I watch on the sideline somebody doing what I was called to do.
Hey, what's up, friends? I'm Vince Del Monte, father, husband, and the OG of online fitness marketing. For more than a decade, I've been committed to helping skinny guys pack on muscle. And after building multiple seven-figure online fitness businesses, I've achieved freedom and financial security through mentorship, hard work, and my passion for fitness. And I want to help you do the same. Recently, I've built the best mastermind coaching program that exists for fitness professionals by giving you the shortest no BS path to grow to 6, 7, and even 8 figures regardless of your starting level. My coaching was designed to give you the skills, systems, and support to become an industry mover and shaker and build the business and life of your dreams. Hey, what's up, friends? We're going to have another awesome episode of Mondays with Bedrock today. If you guys are listening on iTunes or Spotify or all the other platforms, we appreciate all the support for these episodes. We're working hard to get you guys great content. We got a special announcement for you today. We're seeing some epic transformations from the men currently in Bedrock, men who are living lives on purpose, driven by discipline, and we want to give you some tips and motivation to follow their lead. If you head on over to menofbedrock.com, you can subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. New edition drops every Saturday morning, and we really think it will empower you to bring it every day. Okay, now on to this week's episode. Today's guest is Ryan Tillman, a police officer from Southern California who also runs an organization called Breaking Barriers United. Both Adrian and I wanted to talk to Ryan because of the amount of disagreements we're seeing in the world today. Pick any social or political issue and ask, does anyone feel good about where we're at with this one? But Ryan is someone who's actively working to bridge the gap on these tough issues. His approach is to know yourself, not fall for cultural trends, be authentic, and what I like best, using love, respect, and empathy to become all things to all people. Men, you have to be emotionally stable. Your family depends on it. Your kids depend on it. Your spouse depends on it. Your organization depends on it. Like Bedrock, when you get triggered by an issue, so what? What's going on inside you when you flip because of an issue? You can't respond irrationally like everyone else. You have to remain stoic and calm in the face of everyone else losing their cool. I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation. Hey, welcome back, friends. We've got a really awesome conversation here today with a new friend of ours, Ryan Tillman. And Ryan, just want to say, first of all, thank you for being here with us. We're really excited to have this conversation with an individual who's doing some really, really important work. As I was telling you before we hit record, I first heard about you on Bedros's podcast. He's been a longtime mentor of mine, great friend of mine, and I always respect who he brings on. And you guys had a really, really powerful conversation. So it's really neat to think we finally crossed each other's paths in the internet DM. I messaged my brother Adrian. I said, Ryan would be a great guy to bring on the show. I get to know. He's got a lot of value. He's not a surface guy. He's a depth guy. So first of all, welcome.
Man, Vince, thank you so much. And Adrian, appreciate you guys. It's an absolute honor and privilege to be on.
Ryan, but we're both here this time. Hey, so paint us a bit of a picture. I'm so curious about what your life sort of looks like as a police officer with a side gig, though I think those have switched recently, and then you're a father. You've got a lot going on in your life. And so we always like to start with the question, give us 24 hours in your life. We like to start the night before, like the last hour of the day, and then launch us into 24 hours of, is it still Officer Tillman?
So technically, yes, it's still Officer Tillman, but you know, many would argue I'm not even a real officer anymore, sadly, just because, you know, I work probably about 1 to 2 days a month and I handle a lot of our social media pages at the police department that I work for. But yeah, you're right. So my day job ended up becoming my side hustle, and my side hustle ended up becoming my day job, which is an awesome, awesome thing to have, man. I feel like I'm living a dream every single day because, you know, it's just, it's unreal where my life has gone the last year and a half or so. So, yeah, but yeah, if you want, so you want me to go, you want me to tell
yeah,
you now?
Take us what, through, man. Take us through. We are men of like discipline. So we love hearing, how do you do a job with three kids? Like you got kids like everyone else in a marriage and you're an elder at your church, you were telling us. So tell us, give us a picture. What does it look like?
Absolutely. So I'm actually going to, instead of going to my last 24 hours, just because my last 24 hours is not a typical day, I'm going to take you back to Sunday, this past Sunday, and what that was like from Sunday to Monday. So Sunday, I woke up, went to church with my family. And like you mentioned, I am an elder at my church. And so I have a responsibility to be there every Sunday, making sure I'm supporting the lead pastor, which is a really, really dear friend of mine, Pastor Caleb Booth. And we attend Turning Point Christian Church, which is an awesome place to attend. But after that, man, so I went to church, came home, and then we actually went to go spend some time with some friends and family members that Sunday afternoon. And then once we came home, I actually that night I took a red eye out at 1:30 a.m. to Dallas, Texas, where I hopped on a plane to go to Huntsville, Texas, to go to a prison with Dak Prescott. Some of you guys may know who he is. He's the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. So I took a plane with Dak to Huntsville, Texas, and another guy by the name of Damon West, who's doing phenomenal work. He has a book called The Change Agent and the Coffee Bean. But Damon's formerly incarcerated, received a life sentence, got out after about 7 or 8 years. His life completely changed. And so Damon was at a prison doing a ceremony for a lot of individuals in the prison who have now since turned their life around, and they basically graduated the Change Agent program. So Dak and I flew together to go represent with Damon. Dak spoke at the event. And then so once we did that, man, we hopped right back on the plane, went back to Dallas, Texas. And then I flew back home. So I was back at home that following Monday at 6 p.m. Once I got home, I was able to put the kids to bed, pray with them at night, spend some time with my wife, and then wrap it up. And then the next day it was back to business where I'm in school speaking and things like that. So my life is very, very fluid, and you never know what tomorrow may bring. But that's why it's important to have certain structures in place in order to make sure you're being you're executing on all your plans.
Yeah, I love how you have your end of day rituals with your wife as well with the kids. I think that's really crucial to make sure they have stability as well when daddy's traveling. I've learned that the kids can get out of whack pretty quickly. So I'd love to hear a bit about Breaking Barriers United. I'd love for you just to dive right into the origin story. And why did you create this organization? You know, what was the initial vision? Is it the sale vision right
yeah,
now?
Absolutely. So before I actually go deep dive into that, I want to lay a little context. So I grew up out here in Rialto, California, had the opportunity to go play college football, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, which was awesome. And when I was in Vegas, my dream was to always be an entrepreneur and be a business owner. I've always just had a passion for entrepreneurship. And so when I graduated from college with my marketing degree, I came home and, you know, here I am, let's go start a business. So I attempted to start multiple businesses and I failed miserably. But now looking back at it, man, I'm so glad I failed, because along the way you learn so many different lessons. And so
Ryan, can I ask, I've been listening to your pod and your stuff all, you know, the last month to prepare for this, and I never, you say that a lot, but I'm curious, what'd you fail at? Give us one. I just think,
oh,
it's
man.
Like, give us one thing.
Technically it was a legit company, because we got an LLC formed. It was called Breadcrumb. Somebody's going to take this idea and steal it, but whatever. Yeah. it's still a legit idea. I just didn't have the capacity to do it at the time. But one of the companies we had was this company called Breadcrumb, where essentially you got paid with forward thinking. Again, you got to think back. This was probably about almost 10. This was over 10 years ago. So forward thinking, this is when social media was just like Instagram was just taking off. But the idea is that you basically get rewarded for taking pictures of your food. And so you would share your pictures of your food on this social media platform, and then you would collect certain pictures from different restaurants. And once you got, you know, 10 different pictures from a certain restaurant from all your different friends, that restaurant would give you a discount at your next meal, and you could trade. So if I collected 5 Cheesecake Factory crumbs from different friends, then Cheesecake would actually honor those pictures and basically give me a reward. But say, you know, I looked at your table and saw you had, you know, 6 Applebee's crumbs and I had Cheesecake Factory crumbs, we can trade and stuff like that. So We actually found some investment. That was the first time I ever got an investment for like $5,000 to do it. And, you know, over time, but, you know, I just didn't, we were kind of like flying by the seats of our pants and didn't really know what I was doing. And so I wouldn't say it failed. I just would say we put it on the shelf.
Ryan, I got a gazillion ideas. I get that question all the time. And I would say, you got to say no to the many so you can say yes to the few. So I can relate to that. I can relate.
Man, that's probably the hardest thing of my life, man. Me and my wife have this discussion all the time, is how to say no, man. That's a book in and of itself, is how to say no. But yeah, yeah. So I had those business opportunities that failed. And so at the time, my day job was selling insurance and working at Abercrombie & Fitch, which was probably one of the worst jobs ever. Probably got cancer from all the perfume that they, or the cologne we sprayed in the store all day long, but a story for a different day. And so anyways, I was working there and I was looking for a steady job. And that's because my wife had gotten pregnant at the time with our firstborn. And so, you know, I was praying about like, God, what do you want me to do? I need some steady income. And so my dad's friend was like, you should get into law enforcement. So for years, I was like, nope, I'm not doing it. I mean, he was avid. He was like, Ryan, you'd be such a great cop. And I was like, man, I'm not about to be working for the man. I'm not about to be a pig. Like, that was not my goal. And the reason that was because, one, I had bad experiences with law enforcement officers growing up. And two, I always thought like police officers were guys that got picked on in high school. So they became cops so they could pick on everybody else. So like, I'm not about to be that guy. So anyways, he was avid, man. He was on me. He was recruiting me a lot. And so finally, man, I prayed about it. And I said, God, if this is what you want me to do, open the door. If not, close that door. And man, when I prayed that, man, the doors just flew open. I got opportunities for multiple departments to go work for. I got hired for the Chino Police Department and went through the academy. Did really, really well during the academy. Got out, started my field training program. And it was weird because the thing that I least expected to do came so naturally to me. I was actually doing really, really well, but I didn't know if this is what I wanted to do. And at the time, I just remember being like, man, like, God, I wanted to be an entrepreneur, man. Like, your word says, you know, delight yourself in the Lord. He will reveal the desires of your heart. Like, I thought my desires were to be an entrepreneur, and this is an entrepreneurship. But it wasn't until later on that I realized that that police work just ended up being the vehicle to my entrepreneurship. And so when I got into law enforcement, that's when I saw a lot of the problems that existed between the perception of the way the community viewed law enforcement. And so that's when I started my organization, Breaking Barriers United, on the heels of Michael Brown being killed in Ferguson. I realized that, man, a lot of people were angry at cops, but they didn't see the human behind cops, especially a lot of my friends and family members. And I remember feeling that way because I felt terrible about being a cop when Michael Brown was killed, even though it was justified. And I was like, well, why is that? And so the reason it was is because I felt bad that people were shaming me for something they shouldn't have been shaming me for. And so I really took that and saw the problem within law enforcement, which is what entrepreneurs do. They find problems and they try to fix it. And so I went out there and started educating the community at large about what law enforcement was, why we do what we do, how we do what we do, and what we do. And man, that's when I start really seeing a lot of my talents start to come into fruition. And so I read a book a long time ago called The Success Intersection, which is where your talent and your passion cross. And I think that's where I started to hit my sweet spot and came into this venture of Breaking Barriers United.
And now you're sort of traveling around. Like, you talk to high school groups, you talk.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what Breaking Barriers United is exactly. So Breaking Barriers United, it's an organization that is designed to bridge the gap between law enforcement and the community. So what my business looks like on paper is I travel across the country to speak in local schools. So high schools, middle schools, elementaries. It used to just be specifically about law enforcement, but it's actually gone way past that. Now I'm speaking on different topics like mental health issues, substance abuse issues. What, you know, my philosophy is if a high school or a school is having an issue, I want to be your partner and come in and help resolve that. And a lot of the reason I'm able to do that is because I relate to the kids a lot. Even though I'm 35 years old, I still look a lot younger than what I am. And I still, you know, I wear my Jordans and stuff like that. People are just thinking like, oh man, he's dope. And so,
Ryan, I've seen you dance. Your Instagram has got some fine dance moves.
that is, yeah, man, I love to dance. And so there's been ways I've been able to relate to a lot of these students. And so I've had the opportunity to go and speak in there. I now consult for multiple organizations, nonprofits like Faith Fight Finish, which is Dak Prescott's organization. That's why I was with him on Monday. Another one is Just Keep Living Foundation, which is Matthew McConaughey's nonprofit organization. There's another one, Heal America, which I also consult with. And when I say consult, they bring me in as a law enforcement expert. You know, how do we bridge this gap between law enforcement and the community? And then one of my other biggest ventures is making content. So we have a podcast called the It's Needed Podcast, which is downloaded
it's
all.
It's amazing. Yeah, man, it's great.
That. Yeah. So that podcast is downloaded all around the world. And then we recently launched a new series on YouTube called Switch, which is my passion and my baby project, man. I love it. We switched the roles between law enforcement officers and civilians, and then see how they would react in situations that officers are faced day in and day out. And so we started that in December, man. And it's crazy the amount of traction we are getting with this video. I mean, we posted a video 2 weeks ago that's already almost at 1 million views already on YouTube. The one that we did last week is already over 100,000 views. And so that is rapidly growing. And that's become a brand in and of itself.
And Ryan, I think it speaks to the fact that people want to have these conversations, like heavy stuff. I assume in addition to policing, you're talking about race, you're talking about class, you're talking about mental health, substance abuse. Like, these are hard conversations. And yet what I'm observing is a lot of people don't really know how to have them. I mean, everyone can relate to some Christmas dinner that was supposed to just be about celebrating the family that ended with like some people slamming their fists down and storming up.
Adrian, what are you talking about?
That's Del Monte right Christmas 2022.
Are you talking about the last one or which year?
Well,
are you
the
talking
world
about
is
right
the world. Like, whether you want to talk about vaccines, you want to talk about race, whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, people are afraid. It's how do you start the conversation? You know, how do you be open and authentic? How do you connect with somebody without getting triggered? How do you listen? I think that is the greatest form of respect these days, to be able to listen to somebody. If someone's listening to me and I know that I have a difference of opinion and they're listening, that to me is the highest form of respect. And now I will listen back to them.
Totally. And Ryan, as you've talked about bridging the gap, what are sort of like the principles that you say, like, look, the bridge looks like this, like as a society, as individuals, what are the pieces, like listening for sure, what are the pieces that we're missing that are causing these like discussions to just blow up in our face and we never actually get over the bridge?
Well, this is a great insert for my book plug. So I do have a book coming out in July that's called Happy Eyes, Becoming All Things to All People. But that really is the philosophy. You guys asked, what does the bridge look like? You have to become all things to all people, which is a biblical principle. The Apostle Paul said, hey, man, look, I've come to become all things, so that way I might win one. And, you know, honestly, I've kind of adopted that philosophy for my life. And so if we had to identify three key pillars in order to create that bridge, it's leading with love, leading with empathy, and leading with respect. And so you have to lead with love. My dad had a really, really great philosophy growing up. He said, man, you got to treat everybody like they're your mom, your dad, your brother, and your sister, cousin. And it also means that you're not always going to like every single one of your family members, but you can always love them. And so it's kind of the same principle I adopt in life, is I don't necessarily like everybody, but I can always have that brotherly love or sisterly love for somebody, just because that's what we've been called to do as Christians, if you ask me. But leading with empathy is also that's kind of what you talked about, Vince, is like, look, like, I'm not always going to agree with you, but I can try to understand why you feel. And so what's interesting is when we look at that a little bit deeper, is that, you know, we can always connect on an emotional level from a standpoint of we experience the same type of emotions. You might experience fear. I'm going to experience fear. You might experience happiness. I'm going to experience happiness. The difference between you and I is our experiences. And so what happens is a lot of times, you know, people are trying to connect on experience level, but if you do that, you're going to miss the mark. But if you can try to understand and how to relate on an emotional level, that's how you actually create true empathy. So if you start to understand what empathy is, it will establish a connection without you trying to having to compromise what your morals and values are. And then the last thing is respect. I mean, respect is it's an old principle. I mean, you give respect, you get respect. But I've kind of, in my book, we actually talk about sometimes respect is not necessarily earned. It has to be given. And the reason I say that is because if you have an idea, if you have a philosophy of, I'm going to give you respect, even though I feel like I haven't earned your respect or you haven't earned my respect, then that's when you really start to cultivate a true respect for one another. So I really think, man, by leading with love, leading with empathy, and leading with respect, man, that's how you really create that bridge. And you don't have to compromise. That's the best part about it. I think we live in a day and age now where if you are on the left and I'm not on the left, we can't be friends. If you're on the right and I'm not on the right, we can't be friends. I've kind of really adopted this principle in my life to where I'm like, man, look, like, I don't have to compromise my morals and my moral compass in order to come see what your life is like. We can still be cool. I'm not going to necessarily agree with you, but we can still have some sort of relationship. And there's a lot of value in that, man. I think that's why I have friends from all over the spectrum, if you ask me.
Yeah. Before Vince hits the next question, I had a follow-up. So you said love like a brother, and I understand this. Here's what I wanted to throw in the mix. Family are actually the people who you wouldn't choose to be friends with. You know what I mean? All my friends I chose. Vince, I did not choose, right? So sometimes we actually fight the most with our family. Like, I'm curious, like how do we often miss you? Like, I'm usually on good behavior with my friends or my work colleagues. Like, I'm on good. But with family, for some reason, we struggle to, like, sometimes, like, love and have empathy and respect. Sounds like you came from a wonderful family. I've heard you speak about your father so fondly and your mom and your sister, I think. Why is it hard with family sometimes?
I think because the expectation levels with families are much higher because you feel like you're cut from the same cloth. And so that way, so since we're cut from the same cloth, the same DNA, there should be some natural, like, mutual ground that we should all have similar values. But what's happening is, especially, and we notice this with COVID, and as of recent years with social media, is that we actually are a lot more different than we may have thought we presumed to be. And so I think the reason it's hard with family is because the expectations are higher. And when you realize that they don't think like you, then it makes that division that much more further, it seems like. And this is true of my own family. Like, I love my family dearly, but if you ask me how much I relate to a lot of my personal family when it comes to politics, we're vastly different. But it doesn't mean I love them any less, and it doesn't mean they love me any less. And if anything, they've learned a lot from me and my values and views now, but I've also learned a lot from them. Not necessarily saying I've compromised, but I just understand that empathy piece a lot more. And so, you know, I'm not going to, because they're my family, I'm not going to disown them if they view something differently than I do, politically speaking. But what happens over time is that if you do this the right way, you might start finding yourself winning more people over to your side.
That's great. Me, Adrian and I could talk about this because we were that brother who had differences in politics and we didn't talk. There was actually some big blowouts.
Got nasty.
And I was like,
nasty.
Yeah. And I was actually shocked that he thought this way. And you know, we reunited over 75 hard in my basement, in my home gym. And we went on this adventure together, transformed our bodies, started a new business. What was really interesting is that, you know, what I think we kind of both discovered is that the truth is often more in the middle rather than the extremes. And we're like, oh, wow. Yeah, no, we are actually more on the same page than we thought. But then the empathy, like, there was fears. I had a fear for losing my freedoms. Adrian had a fear for something else. But we were both coming from the same emotions, but different experiences, perspectives, and just the listening actually brought us together. And I found that, like, one of the fastest ways and best ways to increase trust with another human being is conflict. Because if you know where I stand and I know where you stand and we're still communicating, like, we trust each other. Like, you know where I stand now. Like, and that's one of the greatest forms of connection. And, you know, I love what you led with leading with love, because, you know, on my journey, I've learned, like, what is that? Like, what does that even mean? And if you look at how Jesus loved us for who we are, not who we could be, not who we should be. And I think right there is, like, that's like the standard. Like, hey, I'm not judging you because God doesn't judge me. I'm loved for who I am, not for my potential or for my mistakes and that. And that's a great, great standard to hold someone to. And it creates that space for grace and connection.
That sounds all lovely, but then why do people still blow up? Like, Ryan, it sounds really good. Like, and then we like blow up on each other. All, like, your whole enterprise, your whole, like, life, your new life mission is because we do this poorly. Like, why can't we engage with each other? Is it just stubbornness, pride? Like, what is it?
100%. It's pride and our unwillingness to just take a step back and just listen. I think, you know, like Vince said, like, we are so stuck in trying to say and talk over people. And I'm bad at this too. So I don't want people, if you're listening to this, I don't want you to think I've mastered this. Like, I work on it every single day, you know, and it's almost like, will we ever arrive? I don't think we will, but we can work every single day to try to arrive. And I think that's the difference, is recognizing, like, look, you know, you're not going to be perfect, but as long as you're striving to do it better every day, then that's what the goal that you're aiming for. And the way you do that is by listening. And so, yeah, man, people blow up. And again, people blow up because they're passionate about a lot of things. And so that's okay. Like you said, with conflict, I think conflict is good because it really exposes the flaws that you might have as a person, but it also allows you to start developing a solution to come up with, you know, the contention that has arisen. And so I honestly think, man, like, the conflict part of it is good. You shouldn't sway away from conflict. I don't want people to think that, you know, you just go the opposite direction so you don't have conflict. No, face contention. Like, the conflict is good. And I think that, you know, one of the things I've tried to focus on more is, like, is this a personal attack against me, or is this a personal attack, or is this an attack about a larger topic? And I think what happens is we take things personal, and it's not personal. It's more of, hey, this is more of an idealistic, you know, viewpoint over a larger subject. And so if you look at that, if you take it from that approach, then I think you'll start working a lot quicker to a more of a better resolution. And one last thing before I move on is, like, I talk about this in my book. A lot of us are literally just a little off left or a little off right. We're not that far apart as we think we are.
Yeah,
what happens is the media makes us believe that you're on the extreme left or you're on the extreme right if you identify with a certain candidate or party. And so that's, you know, we've been hijacked by the media. I don't, whether it's Fox, whether it's CNN, whether it's MSNBC, whatever it is, we've been hijacked. And it's made all of us seem to think that, man, you're an extremist one way or the other. But realistically, we're literally a little off the left or off right. But most of us have similar values. We all want to be free. We all want a lot of our rights. We all want to be protected and safe. It's just a difference in opinion on how we get to those things.
That's really good. Give us an example of a conflict, maybe personal, professional, that had the potential to blow up, but you resolved it. It was resolved more harmoniously.
Man, so I will tell you, man, I have one of my closest friends, man. Like, this guy was very, 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 we were connected at the hip. Like, people would say, man, every time I see you, I see him. Like, from grade school all the way through college, your college roommates. And when we got out of college, slowly but surely, there started to be this drift. And it wasn't a drift because we just got busy. It was more of a contentious drift. Like, there was some type of conflict and we couldn't peg it. And over time, we had a blow up on the phone. Like, and I found out that the drift was, well, part of it wasn't all of it, but part of it was my profession as a police officer. You know, my friend was not a fan of police officers. He didn't like it. He would see a lot of these videos. And so, not knowing the full picture of what I was doing, he almost kind of took the side of what he was seeing and thinking that I was a part of the problem, as opposed to seeing what I was trying to do for the problem. And so that actually caused a huge strife for like 2 years. Now, how we ended up resolving this situation, it's kind of funny. From a spiritual lens, I literally had a dream one day that we were driving in the car together. I hadn't talked to this guy in 2 years. We were driving in the car. No, I saw him at an event. This way, I saw him at an event, and we just had this big old blow up, like a blow up in front of everybody. Like, I'm yelling at him, he's yelling at me. Like,
people saw it. Everyone saw it.
Yeah, people saw it, man. It was just like, right. Wow. And it's fine. This is a dream. And literally, like, we were having this contention or whatever. And then after all this was, like, this whole blow up happened, like, it just fast forward. And then next thing I know, we're driving away in a car together, just like laughing and just having a conversation. It was the weirdest dream. And then I woke up at 5:29, 1 minute before my alarm clock went off. And so I was like, man, like, that was weird. And I hadn't talked to this guy. So I shot him a text message and I said, hey, man, like, I don't know, I haven't talked to you in a while, but I just want to let you know that I love you. Remember talking about leading with love? I said, man, I love you, bro. And I said, you know, I know we've had some beef with each other, but just know that I love you. And you know, whether we talk again or not, man, if you call me today or tomorrow, man, I will still be there for you. And so he texted me back and he was up and he said, man, it's interesting, man. I had a dream about you a couple weeks ago. And
he
was like, man, like, he was like, man, like, something in me has been talking about, man, you need to reach out. But my pride mm-hmm. was keeping me from reaching out. Mm-hmm. So we ended up going to dinner that same week, man. And we've been back to the best of friends like we always were growing up. And so the way we were able to resolve that conflict is we talked and listened to one another. And we realize that, hey, man, even though we may have difference of opinions, it doesn't mean that it's in a personal attack on you. It just means that's how we are created. We're all created differently. We're wired differently, which is a strength. And so we looked at it. We walked away from that dinner saying, look, man, the reason we were always so strong together is because we were like a yin and a yang. We are both very, very different. But putting those yin and a yang together, it actually made us more complete. And so I think what happened is that we started to try to view things differently from one another. We allowing our differences to clout our relationship that we have with one another. And so that's kind of how we resolved it, man. And it's been a great relationship ever since. And I think that I've learned so many lessons since that, from a spiritual level to a practical level, and even just more of a forgiveful level.
Yeah, man. Those dreams, come on now. That's, we've used some biblical language. That's the Lord moving in mysterious ways, or not so mysterious. It's pretty obvious. But I like how you map this out. And then I want to give you an example of conflict that I have, Ryan, and I'd love to just get your feedback on it because I don't know what the heck to do. So you mapped out, you had this friendship, there was conflict, which went to drift. You both knew there was drift. And then you both just took that step. You reached out, right? You like took a step and you solved it. Like this is what it ought to look like as adults. Here's what's happened to me at my work. As I'm a teacher, full-time teacher. And I often find myself on the side of like inclusion and equity and diversity kind of, and yet I always find myself in tension. Like I keep finding myself like in tension with my colleagues, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Like I don't know if it's my approach. I'm curious, like as you advocate for change in your work, like how do you know how to do it? Like, how do you know how to engage so that it doesn't become personal? That's how it feels to me. Like I believe in my cause, but my approach is wrong.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, like you have to ask yourself, what's your point of the change? Like what are you trying to accomplish? Is this for personal gain, or is this because there's something that really needs to be fixed? Sadly, nowadays you go on Instagram or YouTube and stuff, and everybody's like got a solution, but no experience. And so it's like, you know, am I doing this just because I'm trying to get ahead and because I'm trying to like, you know, I think that I can be the next coach and wellness coach, whatever it may be, and nothing against that without, and you don't have the experience, or are you doing it because you found, you had experience, like you talked about you and your brother's blow up, that gives you guys experience in a certain level, in a certain place. So now with that experience, now you can go out there and provide real life solutions. And so for me, one of the first things I do is like, is my change authentic? Am I coming from a place that's not trying to be a gimmick? Am I coming from a place that's not trying to just get likes and views? Am I coming from a place that really wants real everlasting change? And if I can look at what I'm doing as being authentic, then I know I'm on the right track. I'll give you one last example. I could have a long time ago sold out. And what I mean by selling out is like, I could have went far right. And as a Black man going far right, talking about very, very conservative views and this and that and all this other stuff, I probably would have got to 1 million followers a lot sooner. I would have got to 1 million views a lot sooner because there's an audience for that. Or I could have went to the far left as a Black man and said, hey, look, you know what? This is what we need to do. A Black man as a police officer, the system's corrupt, this and that, and got a whole bunch of people that followed me and viewed me. But that wouldn't be authentic. I would be doing it just because I want an audience, and with an audience, it pays. But for me, what I've done is I say, you know what, I'm not going to compromise. And trust me, it's been tempting. It's been very, very tempting, but I always had to get back to the reality I started what I did. I started Breaking Barriers United because I wanted real authentic change. And sometimes that means that I'm not going to see things on the left. Sometimes that means I'm not going to see things on the right. I'm going to speak truth for the right reasons. And so as long as you are authentic with your approach, authentic with your reasoning, and have a good heart behind it, I think that's how you start to solve those problems as to the solutions that you are trying to bring forth for whatever given situation. So in your case, you know, inclusion, why are you doing it? Are you doing it because the rest of the world is telling you that we need inclusion and equity? Or are you doing it because you really feel like there needs to be inclusion and equity? Yeah, people, I hate when people feel sorry for themselves for being white. But we've created this society where white people feel bad for being white. And I hate that because it's like, I don't want you to feel bad. I want you to start doing inclusion equity because you really think that there needs to be equity and inclusion. Don't do it because somebody told you to do that. And the truth is, and it's also true on the reverse side of that. So I hope that makes sense, man.
It's great, Ryan. Your authenticity, you know, when you won me over, you did an episode recently, and somebody had, I forget, someone, some woman online had posted something like, anyways, you kind of like shamed her in your social, and then you took the post down, and you did a whole episode.
Yeah, really have been following me.
I was like, this guy's for real. Like that is, this guy is for real. Like you were the authenticity of, you could have left it up. The clickbait would have worked. You would have driven followers and views and whatever. And then, of course, what you spoke about in that episode is that's not why I got into any of this. And that to me was like, oh, there you go, Elder Tillman on right up there, right?
No, it's really good. I took down like, heck, I think 20 or 30 videos once because I knew it was clickbait and I did get views. But I actually believed in what I said, but it didn't come from the right spirit. Mm. I knew this was triggering nutrition content, and I just. It wasn't coming from a genuine place, even though I didn't mean what I said. So I took it all down. And I think love is our greatest experience on earth, and it's what we're here for. And I think what you said, you nailed it. You know, I'm learning this through a therapist, and she says, love starts with living in your own truth and knowing who you are. And the more you can own who you are, the more authenticity and the more love there can be. Because you can express your voice. And I think a lot of people haven't learned how to express their voice, and it's because there's pain and there's pain playing out. So I think if you can love yourself and that you can love God enough to know that that you're not God and he's in ultimate control of everything, it's easier to find love and connection and relationships because you don't have an agenda. You are, as you said, you're coming authentically. Hope that makes sense.
Man, you know, you're so spot on with that. And I think, so going back to that post to kind of like bring this full circle, what Adrian is referring to, so there was a girl who, when an officer was killed, I think it was in New York, they were doing, you know, anytime there's an officer that's killed in the line of duty, they have crazy big processions. Like, it's amazing to see, man. I've been, sadly, to multiple officer memorials and funerals, and it's just an amazing sight. And I think it's amazing because if I was killed in the line of duty, knowing that my wife and kids would be supported by the world is just an awesome thing, man. There's no better death than the death of a hero. And so this girl took to social media, and she was like, I can't believe we're shutting the streets down for this one officer. And basically going on this rant.
Like traffic, like because it created traffic.
Yeah, because it created traffic. She couldn't get to where she needed to be and all this other stuff. Like just super selfish. And so the emotional side of Ryan got pissed off. Like I got pissed off. So I made a post and I said, look at this clown. I said, the clown of the day is this girl. And I created her post. And I put a clown. So it was pretty funny, actually. It was like a little clown emoji and all this other stuff. And it had what she had to say. And then right after a post, I put a picture of a clown and all this other stuff. And it was getting really, really good attraction. Like the views were great. What I said, I still don't think I was wrong in what I said. But like you said, Vince, that wasn't me and it was my approach. And immediately, the moment I posted, I had all these people that were like, yep, man, look at this clown. I had so many people that agreed with me. But it was a one or two people that said something to me that stuck out. They were like, man, this isn't you. And they were so right. They were so right. So most people in that situation would have probably left it up, probably got all the views and all the other stuff. But when they said that it stuck out, I was like, this isn't me. There's already enough of those people that already pandered to the rest of the audience. And that's not me. That's not how you win people over. If Breaking Barriers United's job is to bridge the gap between law enforcement and the community, this is not how you do it. So I took it down, and I had so many people reach out to me, man. They were like, man, I know like that was the right thing to do. And there's been several times that I've been in situations like that. But when you start being your true self and you start being confident in who you are, you start loving yourself, then you stop trying to be somebody you're not. And in that moment in time, I start trying to be somebody that I wasn't. I try to be like these other social media influencers that this is what they do. And that moment that took me off of my course of action. And so, like you said, the best thing you can do, Vince, is know who you are, love yourself, and be comfortable in your own skin. If you do that, you'll never go wrong. You only go wrong when you start trying to be somebody you're not. And then you'll get corrected very, very quickly.
That's great. Ryan, very early in your career as an officer, you've been advocating for change. Did that come with backlash?
Absolutely, man. So I started Breaking Barriers United when I was a rookie officer. So it already made it bad enough that a lot of people viewed me at the department as the golden child. Some people still do. That, you know, that's here nor there. And so when I started this organization, it was taken in multiple ways, a few ways. One is, what gives you the credibility to go out there and speak about this? And you haven't even been on the job for 2 years yet. So I took that. Then the other one was like, hey, you're just kissing up. You're trying to get promoted and all this other stuff. But the thing that got me through all of that is I knew that I was doing it from an authentic place. I knew that I was being authentic. I knew that I wasn't doing it to kiss up. I knew that I wasn't doing it to just go out there and make a name for myself and just, you know. And so because I think I was authentic about it, I think that's what surpassed the lack of experience that I had in the subject matter. You know, oftentimes we think that a person needs to be, you know, at least immersed in experience for 10, 15, 20 years before they have the credibility to go and speak about things. And in some aspects, that is true. Like, I'm not going to discount that at all. But I think that God has called people and God will qualify the unqualified. And so, like, it wasn't necessarily my lack of experience in law enforcement that qualified me. It was my experience in life that qualified me. And so if you look at things through the lens of years, then you will sometimes miss the mark. And so because I was authentic, because I recognize that, you know what, sometimes it takes a newer person to bring forth fresh ideas, I stuck to that. And as hard as it was, man, trust me, man, there was times where I wanted to get off the boat. It was not a good feeling, man. There was times where I was ridiculed by people in the profession. There was times that people just, you know, they mocked me or whatever it may be. I remember walking in the parking lot one day at work, and there was a guy that I can't stand. And to this day, I'm not a big fan of him. And I remember, I'll forget, I heard him say, like, all right, what's up, Tillman? You over there breaking those barriers today? Like, kind of mocking me. And but now I look back and, you know, I don't hold any contention against him. I mean, I'm very cordial with him, but it's kind of cool. So for those of you guys listening to this today, like, allow stuff like that to fuel you and be that fuel to get you up in the morning time. Like, looking back now, I know a lot of people look at my stories, and I don't post stories for this reason, but I know it happens. A lot of people look at my stories and they're like, man, I can't believe this fool is actually still going strong, you know, 8 years later with Breaking Barriers United and going different places with certain people. Like, you know, allow them to be the fuel to light your fire.
Yeah. I love that, man. Like, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, Esther, the story of Esther in the Bible.
Oh, one of my
favorites. Yeah. That's the one, right? For such a time as this. And she didn't want to do it. She wasn't qualified to do it. Like, she was picked randomly based on, like, she was hot. Like, that's what got their attention. Like, nothing she did. It was pure genetics. And she stepped into the moment. Like that's what it was. Someone had to step up. And so she did. And so I just was thinking, such a time as this, as you were
well,
sharing
even
there.
More importantly about that story, it also, like, God is revealed to Esther, like, hey, if it's not you, God is going to find somebody else to fulfill his will.
That's right.
So you have the opportunity to walk in what I've created you for. Or you have the ability to let that opportunity pass you by, and I'll find somebody else doing. You'll watch from the sideline, watch them do what I created you to do. And so that, what also sticks out to me is, like, look, if I don't do it, God is going to choose somebody else, and I will be super mad if I watch on the sideline somebody doing what I was called to do.
Yeah,
oh, that's so good.
Ryan, let me ask, and then I'm gonna let Vince take it home here. But when we talk a lot about authenticity. You again, I'm in my Bible here deep today, Ryan, so I'm going to ask another one. You know, when Paul says, the title of your book again is All Things to All People. But I think part of that verse is also, by whether false motives are true, does it matter as long as the gospel is preached? Like, what do you do when you don't, like, when you doubt yourself, when you're like, I don't know if I'm the real deal. I don't know if I'm like... I don't know if I can become all things to all people. Sometimes, is there something to be said about faking it? Like, like, is there something?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man. My motto is fake it till you make it.
There you go.
You know, fake it till you make it. Now, and what I think, you can fake it till you make it and still be authentic. So you can fake it till you make it and still be authentic. And what I mean by that is like, look, I know that I'm not going to know all things about everything. You know what I mean? If I go hang out with you guys and we're talking, you're in education. And if I walked into your world and acted like I knew everything about education, people would read through me in a heartbeat. But what I can do is I can at least act like I know, like I can walk in confidence knowing that I know a little bit about education and that I can hold my own being in a room, being willing to admit that I don't know everything. And so I think that's the problem is a lot of times people try to act like they know everything and then people read through them. But I'll tell you in a heartbeat, man, look, I don't know everything. Man, Adrian, I honestly don't know. I literally, this happened to me last week. I got called by a superintendent of schools that said, hey, look, Ryan, we had a situation involving some sexual harassment. Do you have any programs that are specifically designed to talk to kids so they know the consequences of sexual harassment? And the first thing I said is, man, I definitely don't have anything, but it doesn't mean I can't have something. And so I was able to acknowledge, like, look, I don't know, but I can go out there and figure it out, and I'll make sure that it's real as it gets. And so my ability to acknowledge the fact that I didn't know it brought forth so much more credibility, and then they also know where my skill set is at. So my skill set is being able to go out there and speak and create messages and make people feel a certain type of way. That's what allowed me to get the job. And so I think to your point, your question, is I think that there is something to be said to fake it till you make it. That's what police officers do every single day. Like, think about it. You have 21-year-olds walking to a domestic violence call, and they now have to go there and help solve a problem of a married couple that's been married for 30 years with three kids. How do you have a 21-year-old that's never been married, never had any kids, go in there and solve that problem? Well, you fake it till you make it. You go in there and be confident in who you are. Be confident in your abilities. Be able to acknowledge and say, hey, look, I don't know all the answers to your problems, but I do know that if something doesn't change right now, something bad is going to come. So you walk in there, and I think the faking it part is, maybe you may not be confident in yourself, but you can fake that confidence. And if you fake that confidence over time, what you'll start to see is you'll start to develop real confidence. And so I think, you know, you're not faking it in the sense of your knowledge, but you're faking it. You're telling yourself, look, I am confident. I do deserve to be in this room. And over time, you'll start to recognize that, man, like, there is a lot of validity in that statement that you're saying.
Yeah, it's awesome, Ryan. I think you can fake listening too. Like, you know, when I'm in an intense conversation, my therapist says to me, if you feel triggered, whether you want to listen or not, just say more. That's what she tells me to say. Say more. And I'm like, I'm not really listening, but I'm faking listening. And then by saying that word, it gets the conversation going where I can listen. So I think faking.
Do it all the time. I mean,
yeah, you have to, right? Otherwise you just react like on such a human, like instinctual level. And then the harm is done too quickly.
And I think you can even add to that, I'd even add, sometimes the best response is no response. Maybe not in a police officer situation, but sometimes I don't know what to say to this, and I don't have to say something to this. My presence is enough to just, you know, acknowledge and not have to judge and like need a solution. But like, sometimes if I don't know what to say, I used to be really uncomfortable not being able to solve that problem. Like, your presence is a gift. Mm. So, wow. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
I told my sister last night, she's dealing with a similar issue with somebody that's close to her that's dealing with depression. And that person told her, like, hey, I'm tired of you. Like, I just need you to listen. Like, stop, like, always trying to come up with solutions. And I told my sister, I'm guilty of this. Like, if my wife comes to me with a problem, I'm automatically trying to fix it. That's what husbands usually do. We're always trying to fix the problem without actually listening. Mm. And I told her, I said, you know what? Sometimes you don't always have to have a response. Sometimes you just got to listen, and that person is not looking for you to have the answer to that problem. And I learned this with my wife, and I still fail miserably many times. But like you said, man, Vince, that's the absolute truth. It's like, sometimes it's better not to have a response.
Men struggle with that, right? And this is sort of my last question. It feels passive. Listening feels passive, right? It's like, okay. So Ryan, this is the last question. Let's paint a picture of the ideal man. We like to ask all our guests this question. If you could paint the picture of an ideal man, give him a name and what are his attributes? And we get all sorts of answers. We've heard like the glorious man, the fully realized man. We had a nutritionist on the other day and she was like, the human. I'm like, okay, tell me more. but I'd be curious.
The reflective man.
Yeah, we get great names. The man in the arena. We really like that one from a pastor. What would you call the guy?
It's going to be kind of cliche, and it's after a book. It actually was my license plate for a while. It's not my license plate anymore, but it would be a kingdom man. Mm. And the reason it would be a kingdom man, and that's a book by Tony Evans, which is a phenomenal book. He's a pastor out of Dallas, Texas, but a kingdom man. And what a kingdom man is your mindset is focused on kingdom things, which aren't necessarily in this present lifetime. So, you know, we're storing up, we talked about earlier, you know, being an elder in my church, that comes with another level of responsibility. If I disseminate the word wrong, if I lead people astray, if I lead the flock astray, yeah, I may not have any consequences in his lifetime, but I will have consequences in the kingdom of God. You're going to be judged at a higher, in a stricter way. And so for me, you know, I always attribute my life to trying to think about the kingdom. And what am I doing? How am I moving the kingdom forward? You know, God calls us to go out there and make disciples. So yeah, maybe it's not, maybe I won't see that reward here on this earth, but I know that there will be rewards in heaven for that. You know, the Bible also talks about not storing up all these riches and stuff on earth. It doesn't mean you can't go out and become wealthy and rich, but it just means that's not where your focus should be. You know, what are the heavenly riches that you're going to get when you pass away one day? The Bible talks about that you will receive crowns of glory for the work that you do here on earth. And so, again, that's a kingdom mindset. So sometimes when we talk about earlier in this conversation, how do you refrain? How do you refrain from blowing up, or how do you stop yourself? Well, if you have a kingdom mindset and realize that, hey, you know what? I may not win this battle here on this earth, but I'll win the war up in heaven. It gives you a different perspective on how you approach that situation. And so for me, the ideal man would be a kingdom man.
That's great, man. That's not cliche.
That's fantastic, man. Yeah, it's amazing. Really great stuff. Ryan, where can others find you? And tell us about your upcoming book again, if that's available anytime soon.
I appreciate that, man. So you guys can find me at Breaking Barriers United pretty much on all of my social media platforms, which is Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. I am on Twitter. And then the book, it will be released, I believe, in July. So we're almost past the halfway point. I have a really, really cool guy. As a matter of fact, I'll just give you guys I'll tell you guys offline, but I have a really, really cool person that's actually writing the foreword of my book. I was with him this past week, so I'll give you all the hint.
There you go. Okay.
Nice.
But yeah, so he is unofficially confirmed to write the foreword of my book. So it's going to be great. And that book is going to be called Happy Eyes, Becoming All Things to All People. The Happy Eyes, the title actually comes from what my wife used to call me when we first met. She called me Happy Eyes because she always said I smile with my eyes. And so I thought it'd be a really, really cool thing to incorporate, you know, my lovely wife into the book. And then the subtitle is Becoming All Things to All People. So that will be dropping probably, we're looking at the latter part of July. So I'll keep you guys updated so that way you guys can share it on your platforms once that's available.
Yeah, I want to read it too.
Yeah, Ryan, thanks for coming on, man. That was epic. Yeah, really great to connect. I love what you're doing. Living authentically, showing us how to connect. It's just, breaking down barriers. It's fantastic. And not being afraid of conflict, listening more, leading with love, leading with respect. Fantastic stuff. Thank you, man.
Thank you so much, Vince. And so same to you, Adrian.
Hey, guys, if you got some value from this podcast, you know what we're going to suggest next. Share it on your social stories. Share it with a buddy through text message, whatever you got to do to get the word out and encourage somebody else. Help them live their best life. And we look forward to talking to you all soon.
Thanks again, guys. God bless.